Welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda. And we have two very special guests with us today, Josh and Trevor from Mythical Kitchen. Hi.
Yeah.
And also from Smosh.
Yeah.
No, okay. Today Trevor is from the Mythical Kitchen.
No, you're not from Smosh today. You don't remember this place. You're at Mythical Kitchen.
It's so good to be back. It's been so long. You know, it's always fun when I get to come hang out.
Yeah.
Which I never get to do.
Okay.
Get to do.
Okay.
It has been kind of long
hey,
for me. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I walked in today and somebody goes, have you been here before? And I was like, it's been so long. I've been neglecting all of my friends. So I'm sorry that Dad just left to get cigarettes, but he's back now.
Well, Dad, we never met, so you really were such a great dad. They were like,
thank
he's coming
so
back. And I was like, well, I never met him, so.
I feel like we've never worked together before, we need to do like a little like speed dating, get to know each other around. Where'd you
Let's
grow up?
Let's do it.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Great,
okay.
Go for it.
Where'd you grow up?
Massachusetts.
What part?
Easton, Massachusetts.
Never been. How many siblings do you have?
Three sisters.
What's your biggest fear?
Drowning and tight spaces.
Is it the metaphor of drowning or like the actual physicality of it?
No, physicality of it.
Do you sometimes feel like you're drowning in your own life?
Sometimes, yeah.
And that makes you feel?
Stressed and overwhelmed.
I get that.
This is every conversation with Joe.
Wait, where were you born?
I was born in Columbia, Maryland, moved to Kansas City till I was four, and then ended up in Orange County, California, where I stayed put mostly.
Whoa.
Life, yeah.
How many siblings?
One sibling, older brother.
Okay. What's your biggest fear?
Biggest fear, disappointing people.
That's real. Brutal. I mean, you're a chef.
It's true. And you will constantly disappoint people
of course.
All the time while cooking, yeah.
You've because often disappointed me.
I know, and I'm sorry.
Are you comfortable telling him that you're disappointed? Or do you just like hold it in and then tell him later?
I hold it in and never tell him, actually. This is the first time I've told him.
It's gonna.
Is that real?
Yeah. It comes out in short bursts, only when we're on camera, which then I'm like, oh God, was that real or was it performance?
That's really hard because like, how can you guys have a close relationship if you don't tell him? And we'll get into that.
What the hell?
Hi, Shane.
Yeah. How do you guys feel after that? Do you feel good?
I feel really good.
Like I know her so much better now.
Yeah, you know me really
great.
Well.
Well, Josh, it's the first time you've been on this podcast, and it has been a long time since you've been here at Smosh, even though you've been on, like, several shows.
I have. The funeral roast, that was a big highlight.
That's right.
Arasha, her performance, that was maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
She was the coroner?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that character.
Something about me dying with a condom on, or as as chefs call it, making a marinade, and that just killed me.
And then
we shot the never-aired My Ex's special, where I came in and I had thrown out my back, and I said, I cannot physically sit down. Can we do this standing? And I was in so much pain trying to film. And so that
and
will never see the light of day.
And it was an ex's special?
Yeah. And I couldn't tell if Trevor was doing my actual ex.
I think there was a weird line there. I was in a gray area.
I was in a weird emotional space.
It was like Patrick and Jeremy were like, oh, so like, yeah, you'll be kind of like Josh's type, but then like, it really did just kind of end up being your ex.
Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing to me?
You did a whole roast on your ex? Or you?
No, it was the interviewing.
It was
exes.
The interviewing exes.
Oh, interviewing exes.
But this is right before we like Ian Anthony debuted their first sketch.
Mm-hmm. That feels like
so
a century ago when we did exes.
Yeah. It was a century ago.
It was so long ago.
Maybe it was the last time I filmed here.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's insane.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wait, that was years ago.
You were also here for the Eat It or Eat It where we discovered I have grave mouth.
Yes.
That was you.
Oh, I heard about this.
That was you. And it was kind of like you who solidified it because like I was eating this burger that was covered in malic acid and not reacting. But then you took a bite and then literally couldn't like handle it for a second.
My entire mouth felt like it was on fire.
And we knew that if you couldn't handle it, then something was wrong.
Wait, malic acid is horrible.
It's like sour.
Yeah.
Extreme sour.
I feel like every time I went on Eat or Eat It, I got malic acid.
Well, they started putting it in every episode because I didn't react to it. And actually, they were putting it in there to get reactions from other people because anytime I didn't eat it, people would freak out. But I kept somehow landing on the malic acid things and not being affected by it at all for some reason.
I have more questions about that. How do you experience lemonade? Like, does it taste nice to you?
Yeah, it tastes great. I taste like the tart sourness, but it's just never, it never does the thing where I have to pucker up or anything. Like, it's fine. I used to just pop Warheads as a kid.
That's crazy.
Absolutely not. Like blue raspberry, Warheads, sour, gross.
Loved them. So maybe I just like damaged my mouth.
I did a I'd always heard growing up that warheads would like cause a hole to burn in your tongue. That was like a weird
threat. That's what I heard too.
Yeah, that was like a certain era.
I guess so.
But I did a shoot with Santi from Food Theorist where it was like testing different ways to neutralize sour. And we just ate so much malic acid that day that it did bore a hole in my tongue. I couldn't eat for like 3 days. It was brutal.
Wait, an actual physical hole?
Not like all the way through, but like you could see the physical indent. It just started eating it. Like the scene in Fight Club with the lie on the hand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was like that on my tongue. Yeah, it was really brutal.
Why did you do that?
Oh, internet clout. A fear of disappointing people, as we've talked about,
Amanda. No.
Josh, you go hard, because just before we started recording, you were talking about the time that you drank so much caffeine you went blind. So
I missed that conversation.
Josh has a really healthy relationship with food.
No, that was it was a long shoot day in Mythical Kitchen, and I'd gotten acute caffeine intoxication multiple times before, probably twice before.
Okay, so it's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, this was the first time that I lost vision for probably 5 minutes, and I got really scared. Yeah. I was drinking cold brew concentrate straight out of the bottle. Yeah. But
the, like, jug?
The jug, yeah. And everybody warned me, hey, don't do that. You're making us uncomfortable, all that. And yeah. I was like, part of being a chef is being able to measure freehand.
Yeah.
You know what two tablespoons of soy sauce looks like? And so I was like, surely I know how much I'm consuming here. And then everything went white. And yeah. I couldn't stand
for
up.
5 minutes?
Uh-huh.
It was also like in this weird time where it was like post-COVID, but we're kind of coming out of it, but it was still like limited people on set. Yeah. And the vibes were just insane. And I mean, we were just getting like bags full of Bang on the company card, just stocking them in the fridge. And it was just, there was always so much caffeine readily available. And we weren't really concerned with the consequences. It was like coming in at 8 a.m. for like what was going to be a 10-hour, 11-hour shoot day, and just breakfast bang, lunch bang,
and then afternoon bang. So many times during,
like a breakfast bang, you know.
There was so much anxiety during those shoots in that specific era, because you would just get somebody would get a Slack and just go, "Everybody out." When like a positive test came back. I'm sure y'all dealt with this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's already like, okay, how fast can we cook until somebody tests positive?
Yeah, we were doing like 4 episodes in a day. Like, yeah. I feel like Lord. The max number of videos we'll do, like cooking videos we'll do in a day, is like 2 now.
Yeah, because we now run it a lot more professionally.
No, we were cranking through those.
And really, when you guys got home, did you cook, or did you like die and fall apart and order yourself food?
In that era, I wasn't cooking. Yeah, no. He was eating like a handful of goldfish every day. We would try and force
feed. That makes sense.
We would try and force feed Trevor nutrients during the day.
Do you eat nutrients?
Well, no. I mean, it's tough when you're going in, especially like in the 4 videos a day. You're eating food for 4 videos, and so it's like you go and you just gorge yourself. And we're not making healthy stuff in the Mythical Kitchen, so I'm just going and having the most diabolical food.
And all Doritos,
day.
Calzone, Korean corn dog.
Yeah. Oh,
and then I'm getting
God.
Home and I'm like, I don't even want to look at food. I just want to drink Diet Coke and play video games. And that's just
God,
all I
your
did.
Your body, your little body.
No, it was pretty bad. Yeah, it was not healthy.
Yeah, when you guys are cooking, are you tasting everything? Are you tasting it, or are you actually like eating it and consuming it?
So there's the initial taste on camera, and then this happened yesterday. We made a ton of pizzas in a shoot. And so you're, like, tasting everything while you're cooking. You're eating on camera and explaining things. But then the camera shut off, and there's just, like, 3 whole pizzas and 2 backups left over. And you're sort of, like, stressed from the shoot day in general.
So you're just
and
like
so
going.
You just start going to town. And the entire crew just crowds around the pizza. I'm pouring, you know, bottles of, like, ranch and Thousand Island and putting hot sauce in it and just putting the pizzas together. And then you get home and you just like, you have post-shoot clarity and you're just like, I'm so disgusting.
It's also so funny because when we're shooting cooking videos, it's like the food is a prop. I mean, imagine you're like doing a bit, it's like the crutch. It's like you have this thing in your hand and it's a thing to be funny with. And so when I'm on camera, it's like, I'm not even eating the food or like realizing it's like, I'm using it as a prop, as a crutch to do funny or whatever. So it's like, it's funny if I just start crying and shoving my mouth full of pizza and I'm not even thinking about the fact that I'm just like, I'm shoving my mouth full of pizza. And then I get done, I'm like, oh, why did I do that?
You're like Jekyll and Hyde. You get home and you're just like, who was that?
Yeah.
Who am I?
After eating almost everything on the planet, is there anything at this stage that you're like, oh man, I will not touch that? Like that personally is just too much for my mouth. Or, I mean, because I feel like you've done everything.
There's only one barrier left to
bugs?
No. No. Bugs. Oh, we've eaten bugs.
No, literally, no, we guys. For fun. No. Oh, yeah. Guys.
Josh made me eat an entire tarantula.
That was no. Era. Yeah, that no. was
an entire tarantula. I did not know it was coming. You lifted the thing, and there was two full tarantulas.
Not like live. They were dead.
No, but that's where I draw
but they had
line.
Everything.
No. Yeah. Bugs.
And parts. I eat bugs for fun. Like chapulines. Chapulines are really great. You go to like a Mexican restaurant. They got the deep fried little crickets with the chili salt.
We went to dinner with you, and we did have bugs. There was something. It was the ants, right?
Yeah, chikatana ants.
Yeah.
Chikatana ants. And we had worms. We had worms, too.
Oh, yeah.
We had sal de gusano. We had a agave worm. So bugs are not there. No. Have you seen Yellow Jackets?
I stopped, actually, after season one. What a great transition. After season one, I stopped because, actually, it made me physically ill. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like the feeling of, like, the kind of the torture. I was like, well, what's happening? Who's the real villain in this
fucking
story?
You need some answers,
I need some answers. I enjoyed all the older actors. Like, I was like, oh, Christina Ricci, how cool. Yeah. And, like, Hilary Swank is on it now. I'm like,
what?
Nice.
Hilary Swank's in Yellow Jackets now?
Yeah. Are you watching it?
No, season three out?
I thought you said you stopped watching.
I did stop. My sister, my sister's obsessed with Yellow Jackets, and she keeps going, don't watch it. But I'm obsessed.
I love it. Juliette Lewis is fantastic. Nicole Maines is fantastic.
Juliette Lewis is incredible. Incredible.
Dude, it was such a hard show to come back and like just start into season three. I'm like, those first two seasons, so much is going on and so much that you have no clue what's going on. So then you just jump back in and you're like, I didn't know what was going on when I was watching it. And now it's been a year and a half since I've seen an episode and I really don't know what's happening.
So I watched season one when I had COVID and I had 104 fever for like three straight days. And I watched all of Yellow Jackets while having 104 fever.
You're like, I'm there.
Literally, it was actually one of the best TV viewing experiences of my life.
Holy shit.
But yeah, I was talking about human meat. No, that's the only thing. No, wouldn't eat.
Oh,
human. Would not eat.
Okay, is that that's that the reference. One thing?
Yeah, that's a moral thing.
Yeah, they eat Ella Purnell.
Right.
Ella Purnell?
Mm-hmm. Ella Purnell.
She's
plays
the frozen.
Jackie.
She's the girl. But that's you're talking about a moral thing. I'm talking about like, is there a thing that you literally cannot handle?
To be honest, I thought that you were talking about semen.
Oh, no. I've eaten, like, cod semen. You've had cod sperm before?
No, I haven't.
See, of course
cod?
You have.
Cod.
There's just cod semen.
I like cod.
You should try it semen. It's called Shirako. It's a really expensive delicacy. It tastes a lot like uni. It's got this kind of, like, iodine-y, milky.
I love uni.
You might like Shirako.
I
don't really like...
Okay.
If a food exists, it's because somebody finds it pleasant to eat, right?
Yeah.
And I think humans are generally so much more alike than they are different. And so, like, if somebody from one culture can like something, I think you can like it, too, even if it's not to your taste. So I don't think there's any food
I'd
that I wouldn't
to
try.
It.
Yeah?
I think you would try anything, but I feel like you've tried almost everything. So are there foods that it's like, whew, I struggle with that.
Never again?
Because I believe I'm aware that Rhett and Link, the food that they struggled with the most was, is it like the pig blood taco or something?
Oh, that's just, like, delicious. Like, that's really,
they
really good.
They just didn't like it.
Well, you shouldn't just put it in an Ortega stand-in stuffed taco shell. But there's, like, a Vietnamese dish called Bun Ba Hue. Just this, like, spicy pork trotter soup with, like, a ton of fragrant herbs. And you put the blood cube in that. And that's really delicious because, like, the more intense flavors you have, the more they can balance against other intensity.
Yeah.
And so, like, everything in context, right? So
Of course. Yeah. I know that that's something that got pointed out forever ago on Smosh. We used to do a lot more, like, punishment-style things.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, what's the Australian spread for toast?
Vegemite.
But whenever we had Vegemite, we would have, like, a huge heaping spoonful of
it.
And, of course, it's gross like that. Yeah. And we'd have tons of comments being like, hey, man, don't eat it that way. Like, it's gross because of the way you're eating
it's all how
it.
You
don't
eat it.
You don't drink a cup of mayonnaise. Like, of course, it's gross in that context.
That'll be hard to drink.
Yeah, except Damien might.
Does he love mayo that much?
Yeah, he loves mayo.
Oh my God.
Next time he's on, we'll ask him. We get those that type of context. And then whenever I try foods and I'm like, this is gross, I do think about how someone does love it. And exactly. I kind of want to try to like figure out how to love it. I'm
like,
is there a way
different cultures? Like, I feel like I would love to go to a different culture and have it explained to me and like the history of it. And then I feel like I could really love it. Where it's like, hey, you know, we're in America. Here's this thing that you should try from Vietnam. It's like, wait a second.
I know. I think environment definitely would help. The food that I struggle with that I want to like is natto.
Natto is same here, actually.
It's the like fermented Fermented soybeans?
It's fermented soybeans, but the way that it ferments, the soybeans are whole, but there's this like almost cobwebby stickiness around it. It's a little bit...
Ooh.
So when you like whip it up with chopsticks, it gets really, really stringy and slimy. But it's interesting the way that we think about like crispy, right? We view that as a good adjective for food, and we view slimy as bad.
Gross.
But that's only in like, you know, a very American English context. Yeah. So there's... In a lot of other cultures, like, crispiness is kind of, like, weird. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you... it's, like, shattering. It's hurting your teeth. It's, you know, whatever. And so, like, natto, it's... That texture is a lot more common in Japan, also in a lot of Chinese cooking. There was this Nigerian whole goat barbecue out in Van Nuys.
Wow.
And I remember in an interview, he was talking about making this, like, traditional Nigerian whole goat barbecue. Ooh. And Americans would come, they'd eat it, and they'd go, oh, this meat's tough. And the Nigerians that came and ate it and went, this is perfect. So then he's like, cool, I can cook this lower, slower, longer. Mm. Americans came and went, this meat's so tender, that's great. Nigerians came and was like, this isn't meat, it's falling apart in my mouth. You're supposed to chew meat. What is this? And so like, you know, what we view as objectively good in food is not how every other culture would view it. So
it's so interesting.
Yeah.
I think I've had natto before, actually. As you're talking about it, I think I was in Seattle. And we were in this really amazing restaurant. I remember it being very slimy.
Yeah.
And I was a little taken aback by it just because you're exactly right. Like, in my culture, slimy, it's like, slimy. It feels like it's alive. But it was delicious.
The flavor is great. It's got this, like, very, like, almost cheesy fermentation to it. And I've tried natto every which way. I've tried it drunk. I've tried it sober. I've tried it on sashimi. Like, I'm the same thing with you.
I think I need to be drunk when I try new things. Yeah. That's how I sneak it past my brain. Yeah, it's so fun when you try something and you don't like it, and somehow you find a way to view it differently, because that's me with like some types of cheeses. Like blue cheese, I used to not be able to touch. I was like, this is disgusting.
Oh, so good.
But at this stage, I don't know what happened. Eventually I had it in the right context, or like paired with the right thing, and I was like, okay, I understand it a little bit more. And that's such a fun experience to like learn to like something.
Also, pairing it with something brings out all the different flavors of it. I was kind of like obsessed with food pairing. I don't know if I'm like that good at it at all, but like simple things like meat and cheeses or like dips and cheeses. And I'm just like, what's the, I remember I went wine tasting one time, this woman, she went over her whole explanation of pairing. Mm-hmm. And I was right there with her. I was like three glasses of wine deep. I was like, yeah, I get that. And I left being like, what did she say? She was like, salty, sweet? What did she say?
It's like the scene in Ratatouille where he like gives his garbage-eating friend, or brother, just like the grape and the cheese, and there's like this scene with the flashing colors, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, for me it was honey with blue cheese that finally made it work.
So that makes sense. It's like pairing is everything? You guys have the answers, right?
Like, yeah, but I mean, I think that's like one, so much when you're talking about like the person at the winery, like telling you all these stories, that's ultimately what it is storytelling, right? Like wine is the best example of that. It is literally just rotten grape juice. So all these notes of like nectarine and honeydew rind and
tobacco,
fresh cut garden hose, that's all
leather.
Just something people are making up based on what this rotten grape juice kind of smells like to them. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to my brother who was like a certified sommelier, and he worked for a little bit in the wine industry, and he was saying there's a tasting note, or actually it's what do they call it, like an olfactory note of violet. Like, this wine smells like violets. Violets are an odorless flower. Violets don't smell like anything.
Funny.
But you can kind of, our mind makes it up.
Yeah, and like, and you would say, oh, beautiful violet aroma, check that out, and then you go, oh yeah, I smell violets. But it's, you're sort of paying for that storytelling, that human connection, the connection to history, because wine is thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's it. It's smoke and mirrors, but so is life. And I kind of love that about
it. That's kind of why I love wine, because it's like, there's a funny comedy to it. It's kind of like bullshit. It's like when you wine taste with your mom and you're like, I know this is bullshit. When she's like, grass, dirt. Oh my God, it's like salt dirt. I'm like, okay.
And the people, like the somms who work at the winery are like, it's a little bit like a stripper where it's like, they're paid to be nice to you, right? Because they want you to spend money. Like 100%. It's like, and so you'll say like, it smells like dirt. And they're like, yeah, definitely
good
does.
Good nose.
You know, these grapes actually grow in dirt.
Oh, you picked that up. Wow, good nose. You must know a lot about wine. And you're like, wow, I drink a lot of wine. It's really
so when you pass the somm test, it's just other somms determining whether you like do the bullshit correctly.
Kind of. Like, I imagine it's like getting into the Magic Castle as a magician.
You know? You're like, how did I get here? Yeah. There's so many magicians before me.
As long as you sneak past the other magicians there, then you're in.
Same thing for being a psalm, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Magic Castle. I feel like there's a lot of people who live there in like secret walls. Have you been in there where you're just like, what does this door lead to? And it's a whole family like, hello.
For people who don't know, in LA, there is a castle in the hills called the Magic Castle. Uh-huh. And it's where every magician strives to work.
Yeah.
It's a magic castle. And if you're a magician, which there's a lot of magicians in LA for some reason, it is the like, it's the SNL of magic kind of here in this city. That's where you want to work. And you can only get invited via like someone else.
Yes, someone else. And also as a guest, you can only get invited to go in.
Yeah. You can't just walk up to the magic castle.
I've never been.
If you haven't?
No.
I've never been either.
Wait, I've never been either. Are you the only one that's actually been?
I guess I'm the only one who's ever been. So a guy that I did Groundlings with was a hilarious comedian and also an unbelievable magician. And him and his girlfriend did magic together. And he was so good. And he's kind of like this, he has this whole like old Jewish man act that he puts on. And it's not an act. It's like definitely who he is.
And it's not an act.
It's not an act.
So it's such a funny character you're doing.
It's such a good character. But like he does magic based on that. And he's like slow and takes his time. But it's so, everyone's like, and he invited us one time. And I was like, holy shit. There's like rooms and bars from like years and years and years ago, and you have to get the food, and you know the martini glasses are like tiny and freezing cold, and the steak's pretty good, and you're just like, where am I? I feel like they're like 90-year-old ghosts just like roaming. It's such a bizarre. It feels like the whole thing is like carpeted, like wall. I can't really describe it, but you have to go.
I guess we have to.
I know
go.
You have to get invited, but like.
Don't you just kind of wander around in there, too?
You usually go for the food, or you go and, like, sit and have a drink, and then you wander around and try to, like, wait in line for the different shows. So, like, each – there's, like, all these little, like, rooms that you, like – that are kind of hidden, and you have to wait in line and get there in time. And then you go in, and then magic magicians, like, put on a whole show. But you don't even have to do that. Sometimes they're just walking around, and they'll be like, hey, you want to pull a card for me? And you're like – where did you come from? To me, it's so like funny. It's like how you're talking about with Psalms, like making you laugh. It's like that also makes me laugh because there's like they're dressed up. You have to be really dressed up.
You have to be like in a suit.
So everyone's really dressed up and pulling cards. Yeah. And it's kind of funny.
Magicians are such a specific personality. Mm-hmm. Like every magician is, it's like, yep.
They're mysterious.
You know. Are they?
I don't know.
I don't think magicians are too mysterious.
Here's the thing. I feel like they go home to their couch and they're in like their sweats and they're eating chips and they're like, what's on TV? And then they put on a suit and they're like, here we go. Gotta be impressed.
You tweeted something about how you're so polite that if a magician pulled your wrong card, you just go, ha ha, yeah, man, that's it.
No,
yeah. Which is kind of my fundamental problem with it.
I
feel like I have to manage their emotions because I want them to succeed, because if they fail, then it's going to be...
It's never
happened. You know what I mean?
It's never happened.
It's disappointing.
But if a magician did fuck up on the trick, I would pretend. I'd feel so bad.
What?
I'd feel really
like,
bad.
That is not my card.
I'd be like, it's not my card. Fuck you.
No, I'd just be like, I'll give you another chance.
I feel like there's this pressure, because I feel like every time I get approached by a magician and they're doing a card trick, I'm like, I know you're going to have the card. I've never had a magician not, like someone who's like a professional magician, not pull the card. And so I feel like there's this pressure to be like amazed by it at the end where I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But like the whole time I'm like, I know you're going to get my card.
I know you're tricking.
Guys, you got to know.
The only real magician is David Blaine, and his best trick is where he just eats a wine glass.
David Blaine.
There's no trick. He's just eating a glass, and it messes up his teeth really bad.
I've yet to in-person.
I love David Blaine.
That's real magic.
I haven't actually seen much magic in person. Like, I've seen, like, little card tricks where I'm like, okay, I understand the, like, deceit of it all, but I've yet to see a magic trick in person that's like those David Blaine levels.
The
one where he like has a card and he like throws it at a windshield and suddenly it's like in the glass. I want to see something like that.
You're gonna see it at the magic.
Do you know what the craziest magic trick you've ever seen is? Is there one that you're like,
something with like this guy had a bunch of coins and then all these different people had coins and he knew what the coins were and then people were like, how? And, you know, they're like 60 plus old. So you know they're not fucking around. You're like, that bitch didn't come in with those coins.
They lived through the Cold War.
Yeah, exactly.
I've yet to have, like, I'd love a trick where there's something on my person that they've put there. And I'm like, how did that end up
I'm
there?
I'm telling you.
I'm so curious about that.
I'll find a way to get you in.
Okay, let's break me into the magic castle. Because if you're not invited, you open up the front door and it just leads to the exit. And you're like, oh.
And they go, you
walk through and you're just walking out.
You're walking back out. Yeah, that's what happens.
I think the impressive part about magic, though, is just the sleight of hand. It's insane that they are able to do that. There's this guy who a documentary, I think it's on Netflix. It's not even magic, but it's this guy who is blind. And he is just so incredible at shuffling cards. He goes through like an entire deck of cards a day from shuffling it so much, but he can shuffle a deck of cards and reshuffle it so that it's completely in order. Like his hands have just touched cards so many times that he can tell exactly where every card is when he's shuffling it.
Wow.
Fully blind, he can shuffle a deck, pull out a card, and tell you exactly what it is. It's unbelievable. The most insane documentary.
Whole documentary about him?
Whole documentary. And all he does the entire time is just he's always shuffling cards. When he's talking, when he's doing anything, he's shuffling cards.
It's like practice and
it's the most
so much practice.
Unreal thing I've ever seen.
Isn't it a true, this always blows my mind, that every time you shuffle a deck of cards, that's the first time that organization of cards has ever existed? Like the odds is that when you shuffle a deck of cards, that the way that the odds work, that order of cards has never before been shuffled into place before.
I don't know.
I think I've heard something like that.
I'm spooky.
We'll have Selena fact check so that I'm not just lying
like,
to you.
It's like one of those things where it's like if you put a monkey in a typewriter in a room with enough
that the
time,
odds eventually
I learned last night. What I learned last night, Raven and I were watching Wedding Crashers.
Okay.
Fun.
Perfect transition.
Incredible film.
Yeah.
No, but Owen Wilson makes a joke about Australia and how the toilets like flush the opposite way, and Raven was like, what? And I was like, oh no, that's a real thing. Like if you go to the like southern hemisphere, the toilets flush the opposite way. And I googled it. Completely a myth.
Not true. Yeah.
Completely
just a lie.
It's not true, but it's like something I saw like a video of probably when I was like in high school, and I was like, dude, that's crazy.
What?
And then they're like on the equator, the water doesn't spin at all. It just goes straight down. And I was like, oh my God. I looked it up. Completely a myth.
I miss it's just it, there's really no excuse for like buying into that shit nowadays, but it happens more now.
And that's freaking magic.
But it used to
tell you it and then you believe it.
Fuck.
It's like 0.0045%. Statistically,
when you shuffle a deck of cards, that's the first time that has ever existed.
How long until we get to a point where we will have had a repeat? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're not counting this blind guy who's shuffling all day.
That's what I'm saying.
He's made so many different iterations.
He's feeling the outside of his cards, and he's like memorizing the feel with the card.
Eight billion people on Earth. Yeah, each person's probably shuffling a deck of card, 15, 30 times a day?
Every person is always shuffling
that's
their
position.
You know what I mean?
Me playing Balatro, all day, every day. Speaking of Wedding Crashers, Trevor, you're engaged.
Dude, yeah, I'm engaged. How crazy
cool.
is that? How crazy
wow,
is that?
Join us.
It's so awesome.
Join us.
Is it awesome?
It's so awesome just to be able to call her my fiance.
Because,
like, we don't have, like, a date
for 90
set.
Days.
Yeah.
I love that you're on that show.
Sending Trevor back to Idaho.
No, I mean, it's like, because, like, I love her so much. But it always felt weird being like, oh, yeah, this is, like, my girlfriend. Like, it just doesn't feel that serious, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, we don't have a date set. We're, like, saving money. You know, we live in L.A. and we're broke. Like, we're not going to have a wedding probably anytime really soon. But it's, like, now I get to go around and be like, oh, yeah, my fiance. And it just feels so official.
Cool.
It's like, it's like, no, dude, I swear I really love her. Like,
that's
she's
awesome.
My fiance. I really love her. I swear, dude.
Sick, man.
Just people question it when it's, like, your girlfriend. They're like, sure.
Yeah, there's, like, a thing, like, okay, your girlfriend, but no,
it does have a weird connotation. My girlfriend, people are like, okay,
it just doesn't. It's
how
like,
long? And you're like, dude, you got a girlfriend for years.
I think the problem, is that term is so all encompassing. Like, it can mean so many different like levels.
Yeah,
it's why I kind of like what people have been saying, partner, a lot. And I'm like, I think that adds like a different layer.
Yeah, we would say partner, and like, yeah, that did feel more official, but now it's like fiance. I'm like, yeah. Ooh. And then people ask me if I have a date, and I'm like, no. Probably never gonna
take your time.
If you think they're asking you that, she is going to get asked so often that is going to ruin her life. Was that your experience?
Thousand times. Oh, so much. I mean, yeah. I have three sisters.
Yeah.
So when and what colors are you thinking? Like, what should I wear? And what? And both my sisters have two kids, and they were always going to be in the wedding. And they're like, so what for? Like suit? I'm like, I don't have a dress myself.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't. I think. I like learned that I feel like people in life they're it's like the next it's like the next question that they should ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they have like a book that's like how to be social when it comes to this stuff. And it's like that's the next question that they ask. You're engaged. They're like, great, when's the date? Mm-hmm. Because all they need to say is like that's awesome.
Yeah.
They can't live in that unknown gray area. So they just say the next thing. So I kind of stopped taking it so personally, but I remember being engaged and being extremely overwhelmed. Like, I was so excited, but people were like, can I throw you, like, an engagement party? And I wanted to crumble and die. And now I'm thinking, like, why didn't I just let them do that? But you just get so, I don't know, you get so overwhelmed because you're like, I also want to have a say in this, but I don't know what I want it to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, they're ready. They're like, when's the next thing?
Yeah. And then it's like, once you're married, then it's like, oh, are you thinking about kids soon? And
100%.
Like, good God.
Yeah.
It's the escalator, man. You hop on the escalator and you just never hop off.
Then you have kids and you're like, well, when are you going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
When are you going to die?
Totally.
Wait, Amanda, how long was your engagement?
Really, not that long. And honestly, why I'm saying don't rush, like, my husband was like, we could wait another year. And I felt so much pressure just from myself and like the outside world that I was like, No, we have to. So my engagement was like really a year.
Yeah.
Really not that long, but we could have done 2 years. Now, don't get me wrong. The wedding day was like one of the best days of my life. Mm. It really, really was. And I didn't think that. I was like, oh God, everyone says it's the best day of their life. But it fucking was. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad when we got married. Like I'm glad we didn't wait, but like we could have waited. So it was only a year. It wasn't that long. Yeah. And yours was?
It was only a couple months ago, right?
My wedding? Yeah,
I got married
a couple months ago. But our engagement was almost 3 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Just because
there was so much pressure. We started planning early, but there was so much pressure to throw the perfect wedding. And that's something that like really freaks me out about the world in general, is just like the bachelor party, the bachelorette party. We're traveling. We're going to Park Slope. The shower, the everything. And I'm just like... Invite, like, I grew up in, like, a crappy apartment complex that had, like, a party clubhouse. And, like, growing up, you'd get a gallon of store-brand ice cream and a crappy sheet cake, and you'd just invite friends over there. And that's what I want to go back to for, like, engagement parties and bachelor parties.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Bring one Craigslist erotic dancer to whatever the version of that apartment clubhouse is.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many different events, and all your other friends are getting married, and it's so expensive.
Lot.
And it's just been this, like, escalation over a long period of time.
And you're kind of I feel exactly the same way. I was like, I do better. I love big groups of people, but I personally do better with small groups. So I split shit up. Like the whole year, I was like, I'm essentially getting married for the whole year. Like I'm going to have like a hangout with my sisters on the East Coast. And that's going to be like a bachelorette party, but essentially it's just a weekend. And then I'm going to have like the Craigslist stripper, which I definitely had.
Talking like fireman, doctor, what was her shtick?
Jeans. Well, actually, I love tarot cards, and my friends, fucking, we rented a house on this horse ranch, which I was like, this is sick. And he showed up as a tarot reader, but he like wasn't prepared. He was the wrong guy. Like, they were like, this is not who we picked. And he showed up in this, like, big gaping gown that my friend had from Groundlings. She was like, I stole this from the basement. And gave it to him. And then he had tarot cards. And he went,
It's going to be a fun night. You and your friends are going to have a good time. Let's party. And I was like, thanks for my card reading.
Oh, your card is the huge bulge card. Uh-oh.
Oh, no, the swordsman. Something terrible has happened in your life.
Nothing better than a stripper in jeans, let me tell you that. The movement was funny. It was like he was a snake. He was like... He also was a little injured. I'm not really sure.
Oh, no.
The only time my friends have earnestly gotten strippers, and it was from Craigslist. They were lovely. They were from Bakersfield. Was when I won our fantasy football championship 2016, and they were dressed like Guy Fieri. They had
That's awesome.
My buddy put together the costumes. They had the Fu Manchu mustache, everything.
Oh, man.
And
hell yes.
Put out a giant tarp, and they poured 5 gallons of barbecue sauce on me.
Stop!
And that was the most contact that, you know, there was not.
And
nobody
then they
was
shot
there.
Me with a gun.
What?
Same real thing that happened in my life. Yeah.
That was the most contact?
Well, we didn't. I mean, none of us were like there for, you know, the actual like stripper part of it. We were more there for the Guy Fieri of it all.
I was flipped and like slammed on my face.
You don't...
I was like, ow.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Crazy. You don't know where to go from the barbecue sauce. And there's a whole like Guy Fieri, like there's like a trapped out Guy Fieri song of just him saying like, welcome to Flavor Town, you know? And they danced to that. And so
stop.
But that was not the bachelor party.
That was just, see, that's the thing is like, I'm so sick of these words of like a shower, a bachelor party, a bridal shower. And it's like, let's just the whole point of a wedding is to hang out with your friends and be like, hey, we're doing this. Thanks for being there for us. Like, thanks for being our tribe. Like, that to me was the whole thing. Like, we didn't have an engagement party. I didn't really have a shower. I just had, like, a bachelorette with my sisters from home and then my friends here. Because that, to me, that was, like, plenty. It was a lot for me to process. But then, I don't know. Like, I felt like I was, like, not really relaxed. I get really overwhelmed with, like, a lot of attention. And I... And here, crazy when I'm a fucking actor, but like I had a 40-person wedding, like I had it small, and like if my husband were to choose, he would have had 500 people. Like he's like, let's party and dance.
It's
and
a different like, kind of attention.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to this type of stuff, and it's also attention from like your family, like people in your life that kind of can stress you out more easily than anyone else.
So. They're like, how you feeling?
Yeah.
And you're like.
I was feeling good until you
good.
Asked me that.
They're like, yeah. And you're like, what? What's the hidden meaning here?
I think it's one of those times in life where you feel this pressure where it's like, does everyone expect me to know absolutely 100% for sure what I want in every aspect of my life? And it's like, man, I'm really unsure of a lot of things.
I don't know
But the
if
way people
do.
Talk to you, they're just like, yeah, so you know what you're doing? Do you know what you want with this and this and this and this? And I'm like, maybe I don't.
I think they feel better. I think... For what I learned about my mom, and I really had to dig through this, is like she just wants to know that like I'm going to be okay and like I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
But it comes off in all those questions. You know what I mean? Like, and people are like, why don't they trust me? And it's like, no, they just want to make sure you're going to be good and set up and ready to go. And it's like, I can say that now because I already went through all of it. But like, you really have to like dig through that and be like, what is the hidden meaning here? And it's like, they just want to make sure that you're good.
Yeah.
Most of them.
It's funny talking about the different kinds of attention, but the people are definitely a big part of that. Because if you would imagine like your mom and all your closest family members being on set every day, you would probably have very different feelings about your work in certain ways, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like carrying so much baggage from such a young age with all those people that they say one thing, you know, there's like, is everything going okay? It's like, well, why would it not be? Why would it not be? You said that to me when I was 8 and things weren't going okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's totally true. So everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, no. Everything's going to be okay.
When you're having kids.
Yeah.
What has been on your mind more, Trevor? Has it been the engagement or has it been the fact that you're going to be in Creator Clash?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Dude, no.
How's your nose doing, by the way?
Nose is doing good. It doesn't
it
really hurt
good.
Too much. Thank you.
Did you get
Thank
some you. Arnica? You didn't.
I don't go to the store.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I should have just bought it for you. Okay.
Tiny bit of context. Creator Clash is a YouTuber boxing event that's been going on for a couple of years where YouTubers beat the shit out of each other. And Trevor, you're in it this year.
Yeah, I'm in it. Dude, it's exhausting. It's so weird to be like, I've played sports my whole life and I've never been, it's been so long since I've been bad at a sport you know, okay. like learned a sport. So like going into it, I was like, I'm athletic. Like I haven't boxed before, but like surely it can't be like, you know, I'm going into this with athletic experience. And dude, how humbling it is to just get punched yep. in the face. Yeah, it's brutal. But I finally feel like I'm getting better, which is nice. Okay. It's starting to click a little bit for me. I'm getting less scared, but it's it's become so tiring because now, like the last couple weeks have been so busy, like just long shoot days, long days. And then on any of the days that I'm not shooting, I'm getting beat up.
You're training.
Yeah.
I'm like going to a gym and a Bulgarian man is just punching me. And
he's loving it too.
Yeah. He loves it. He like punches me in the face and my nose is all bloody and he goes, oh, sorry. He's like, but get back up. And I'm like, okay.
Hero's journey. You're on the hero's journey, boo.
Yeah. No, it's really outside my comfort zone though. And I think it's really good for me because they're genuinely that picture of my bloody nose. When he punched me, I got sent to the ground and just like couldn't like help myself from just immediately like crying. I was just on the ground crying. And I was like, I want to get up and I want to walk out of this gym because this isn't fun. And I don't really like punching people. So like, that's not even fun. The other side of it. But no, I mean, it's a challenge and it's for a really awesome cause. It's like for charity. It's really cool. And it's an awesome group of people. So it's outside my comfort zone. It's hard, but I'm glad that I'm doing it. And once it's done and after I win, I'm probably not ever going to box again.
And after you win.
Yeah. After I win.
That's been so many like interviews with people who've participated in Creator Clash. They're like, so are you going to keep doing this? And they're like, no, I'm done.
No, I'm going to go back to just playing pickup basketball. It's so much fun. Pickup basketball is so much fun. Getting punched in the face, not fun. Just like going home and hurting.
That's extremely painful.
I started sitting down in the shower again. I haven't sat down in the shower.
No.
What the f-
Like in movies when people are really falling apart?
Yeah. In those like hardcore boxing dramas now.
Dude, I haven't sat down in the shower since I was like unmedicated for my mental health issues. And now I'm like getting home and I'm like, Grave, this is going to be a long one. I got to sit down for a minute.
Oh, I can just picture you like turning it on.
Yeah.
No.
You can't do this, Trevor. You got to give it up.
Get up, Trevor.
Yeah.
Amanda's from Boston. She knows like 15,000 boxers.
Yeah. Because
everyone in Boston's a boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot of Muay Thai training. I did like 2.5 years of Muay Thai training and I loved it. But I will say it took me a really long time to not be afraid of being punched in the face. The training that I'm doing, they're not actively punching me in the face, but still they go for it and you're supposed to slip. And in the beginning, I'd be like, and they'd be like, you cannot shut your eyes. And I was like, but it's natural.
If I shut my eyes, it goes away.
So it took me months to like open my eyes to a fucking punch coming towards me.
Yeah. No, and that's what
it's scary.
He's like, you gotta have a poker face when you're in there. He's like, you can't flinch. You can't look like you're getting tired. Like you just have to sit there and see a punch coming at you just straight faced. Yeah, no, it's a whole different ball.
Kind of like
game.
Wedding planning, you know what I'm saying? Just focus on Creator Clash for
now. It's the same thing.
I could see boxing being fun as like a casual workout where like I'm going in and I'm getting punches in on a bag. Like it is tiring and it's a full body, like it's everything.
Good cardio.
But yeah, I sparring and just getting hit over and over again. And you get to the point like it's so tiring. And when I got my face like really punched, we were doing 4 3-minute rounds of sparring. That was in the first round. So then I had to go 3 more rounds, just blood pouring out of my nose. I was also like kind of sick at the time. So it was mucusy and like there was just like snotty blood hanging out of my nose. And I'm so tired to the point where I can't even throw punches. And I'm like, I just have to get through this last couple minutes without being hurt more. And Grisha, my coach, literally, he's like looking at me. He puts his hands down. He's just like, just punch me. He's like, just punch me. He puts his head down. He's like, just punch me. And I'm just like punching him. He's like, see if you punch. He's like, that's why you keep your head down. It doesn't hurt if you get punched up here. He's like, just keep punching me. And I was like, I just want to go home.
Why do I love this guy so much? Like, this is fucking great.
It's such a specific personality type. It's kind of like we were talking about at the beginning. Like, chefs have such a specific personality type. Yeah. I feel like boxers
totally.
Also have such
a... chefs. You guys are a little... totally unhinged.
Yeah, absolute freaks. Yeah. Suckers for pain and punishment, too.
Well, he's got the craziest story because he grew up in Bulgaria, like communist Bulgaria. And it's like, he was fighting and that's what he was good at, so that's what he did. It's like he was good at fighting, so all he did was fight, like, since he was a kid. And he's just telling me these stories about, like, him, like, he's like the jump roping that he would do with, like, a hose because he didn't have a jump rope. And then he, like, came to America and was, like, fighting on, like, the American national team, but just, like, he was just going through it. Like, that's all he did was fight when he was younger. And he loves to get punched. He loves to punch people, and he loves to get punched.
Probably nostalgic.
That's got to be really scary when you're fighting someone who enjoys it.
Yeah.
When it's like, yeah, punch me. That's what I feed off of.
Yeah.
I know.
No, he pulled up this YouTube video. He's like, check it out. And it was like this, like, professional, like, famous boxer. He's like, yeah. He's like, I had him punch me. And so he shows this YouTube video of just, like, this professional boxer, and Grisha's just there shirtless, like, holding this pose, just getting rocked in the body by this guy, just, and he's, like, so proud of it. I'm like, dude, why would you want to do that?
Watch me get beat up, dude.
Yeah, I get punched in the kidney once, and I'm like, I gotta go home.
How many people has he shown that video to? Like, at a bar, he's like, watch me get punched.
Dude.
Check out this video.
Yeah.
I'm getting punched.
That's cool, man. Yeah. All right.
Can
sick.
You feel yourself getting tougher? Like, can you feel that level of progress? Because that's, like, the fun part of sports and hard endurance training.
Yeah, no, I definitely do feel like every time I get punched, it does feel like a little bit less, like it hurts. Like, I'm more ready for it. I'm expecting it. It doesn't take me as long to recover. Even within those four rounds, like, after he gave me a bloody nose, like, he got me in the face more. It wasn't like he was like, all right, I gave you a bloody nose, I'm just going to try and hit the body. Like, he kept punching me in the face. And it was like every time I was like, I just got to get back up quicker. Like, I got to get back up faster. And I'm just like, all right, keep going. Just waiting for that timer to go off that the round is over. It's crazy.
And so you'll be training for the next, like, few months.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah, this is just the beginning. And it's only going to get tougher. I mean,
it's going to get worse and worse.
Yeah, he's just going to keep punching me harder. But I will say, it's nice to know, like, in the back of my head, that the person that I'm fighting, and honestly, anyone that I will spar probably until the fight, cannot punch me as hard as he did.
Sure.
Like, he can't. Nobody's going to be able to, like, hit me and put me through as much pain. Like, he's so fast. His hands move so fast. It's like everything that I know about the sport, once I'm actually sparring, just goes out the window.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, I can like slip and have defense and, like, block punches as much as I want when we're doing, like, glove work and stuff. As soon as he's in there and throwing those punches, I'm like, I can't even see what's going on. Like, I can barely throw punches myself.
It's meditative. It's like you have to tap into something that's really focused. And I feel like that takes years and years and years to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
No, it's like
Trev.
Practice.
Yeah. But it does feel good to get better. I was even, like, talking to him yesterday when we were training. Like, something clicks, and it's like, oh, this footwork thing clicks where, like, I can feel the punch getting harder because of this thing that I figured out how to do with my body. Mm-hmm. And feeling more comfortable, throwing more punches and more combinations. Like, it does feel good to get better. But, you know, then when I fight against him, I feel like an idiot. And I feel like I can't even do anything. But I feel like once I'm in there against someone who, like, is the similar skill level to me, everything's just going to, like, slow down, you know?
Cool.
No amount of pain that he's put you through can compare to the amount of pain that the Soviet government put him through. You know what I mean?
That's true. Think about that.
That's true.
And keep that in mind.
Think about that. Yeah. Think about that.
No, I do. He often reminds me.
I was going to say, how much does he talk about it?
Oh, all the time.
I was going to say.
It's awesome. I encourage it. I'll just ask him about it sometimes. I'll just be sitting there just doing like 200 crunches, and I'm like, so tell me a story about when you were young.
Tell me the Soviet Union story.
How was Gorbachev?
Yeah.
Another thing that's coming up, because I feel like you guys have so many things coming up, is your live show.
You guys have a live show.
We have a live show, which Trevor
April
knows
3rd?
Nothing about. April 3rd, 7 p.m. Pacific time, live with Kids Week. Kids Week is our partner on that one. And Trevor's competing in it, which means that Trevor doesn't know much about it at all. He knows when to show up, and he knows that he's wearing a cool costume.
Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson is going to come out.
That's actually Grisha. He's going to put you through. No, but it is a cooking competition. It is the hardest cooking competition. It's going to be all four of the kitchen. It's going to be Trevor. It's going to be Lily. Lily. It's going to be V. It's going to be Nicole competing against each other for a grand prize that is a secret right now, but it will be revealed that you are like you are genuinely going to want to win.
No, Annalise asked me. She was like, she's like, do you have your passport? Like, is your passport up to date? And I was like, is this like a joke? Like, is the winner actually going
to
get
that's
like
such
a
funny
trip
thing to ask someone at any point? Yeah. Like, is your passport up to date?
I mean, the only reason to ask for a passport is because you're going somewhere.
Yeah. You're going to punch it to the moon.
But no, it's basically, you know, I have had to do so many very fun, but also very dumb and very hard things throughout Mythical Kitchen that has all been produced by all the Kitcheneers. And so now I'm turning the tables and I am going to run them through the hardest cooking test possible. We have some really fun surprise guests coming up. Ooh. And I'm going to be drinking. Emily, who is one of the funniest people I have ever had the chance to work with, Emily Fleming, is going to be the bartender throughout this.
You're
going to
be drinking and you're hosting and also telling them exactly what they need to do and judging them.
Great. And then also going through some physical challenges myself. Yes.
Physical?
Yeah.
Do you plan on getting like drunk?
No comment.
He just said he went blind from caffeine,
so we can't really trust him.
Moderation is not my strong suit in anything. Thank you.
Have you been drunk on a live show before? Because Rhett and Link have done that type of thing before.
Trevor, have you ever been drunk during a live show?
I couldn't say. I'm pretty responsible at work, generally speaking.
Nothing comes to mind.
No, nothing comes to mind. Okay,
you did pour a lot of olive oil on me during the Good Mythical Evening. Obviously, we've done Good Mythical Evening, that live show, and that one's a lot more sexual than this one is. Because Rhett and Link can do that with each other, and it's fine because they've known each other.
Everybody knows that lore.
Yeah. But
I oiled you up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We got a lot of olive oil on that set during a live stream. That was a safety issue.
That's fine.
But this one going to be slightly less sexual.
Incredible.
Thank you so much.
The physical challenges that you're doing are going to be less sexual.
Yes.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be, that's great, fantastic. So you're going to be covered in barbecue sauce in the middle.
Yeah, correct.
And they're going to be
sexual, that's sensual. That's different.
Oh, that's sensual. Mm-hmm. That's for
that's fair game.
Wedding. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be like in their own different areas. There's four of them.
Yes.
And they're going to be in their own different areas, and they have no idea the challenges that are... They're not even slightly prepped?
Not even slightly prepped for the challenges, no. And we are, at some point... I'll give you some of the lowdown. At some point, we are going to divide you up, and you will have to compete one-on-one. At points, you will have to compete all four. It's effectively like Mario Party, I just realized, but in real life.
Well, Trevor knows Mario Party.
Yeah,
but he knows
just
how
a bunch
to lose
of
Mario Party.
I'm really good at losing Mario Party.
And there is going to be certain elements of deception and backstabbing, trying to sell your teammates down the river. We were inspired by a lot of the great TV shows of our generation. Squid Game, Survivor, Cutthroat Kitchen.
Squid Game,
where they die.
No, we're actually only speaking Korean is the Squid Game element. But we're really excited. We've been working super, super hard. I know like y'all have all produced live streams, and it's such a fun new challenge that we have never done before on the Mythical Kitchen side. And so it's really cool because we now also have an excuse to do like bigger, better, cooler things.
So are you going to have an audience in there, or is it it's only going to be live streamed?
Only going to be live streamed. And there is like no room. There's no room for anything else in the kitchen right now because we've blocked out like all of the sort of locations. I'm also going to have to be running from location to location during this.
So this is happening at the Mythical Studio.
This is happening at the Mythical Studio.
Okay.
Yeah. What
so
do you think we're going
really
to take you to?
Trevor,
I don't know. Four people in that kitchen.
We know his
cooking.
About,
that's
about
insane.
This.
I thought maybe we'd be going somewhere.
We did ask you if you had a passport, so I understand. Yeah, we're going to Greenland to film it.
That would be sick. Little traitors action. Go to Scotland in a castle.
That's even crazier. That kitchen is so small. Like when you actually like put four people there trying to cook, it's tiny.
A fun fact of lore is a lot of old Smosh sketches were shot in what is now the Mythical Kitchen.
Yeah.
Like you watch like every Domino's ever, it's like that was shot there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We used to film.
I was in that.
Yeah.
I had like.
You were there?
I was there, and it was such a weird time. Like me and Damien were playing these characters who were like fighting over a buttery phone. What a time.
Yeah.
That's tiny.
Yeah, it's not big. It's going to be real cozy. It's going to be real intimate in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there like three different dishes? You probably can't say anything. Never mind.
So a lot of them are going to, I will say the finale does involve cooking your best dish, but only two people will be in that
doing
finale.
That.
Yeah, and what's your best dish, Trevor?
Well,
Beef Wellington?
There's going to be some catches.
Ham and cheese sandwich.
And you you know, there's going to be some catches on what that best dish has to include. I will say that. I will say
okay.
that. But otherwise, a lot of it is, you know, going to be testing your mental fortitude. It's going to be testing your speed. It's going to be testing your efficiency, your ability to follow directions.
Okay.
Your ability to
box. It's going
to
get intense.
No, that's really good for me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have gotten so much worse at cooking, I think, after having, like, not, now that I'm not cooking, like, full-time for a
job. Now that you're at Smosh, you suck.
Yeah, now that I'm at Smosh, they made me bad at cooking.
Yeah, we're bad kids over
And you went to college for baking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I feel great about my baking. I like bake bread at home. Made a lovely loaf of brioche. But no, I feel like cooking. I'm like, I forget stuff sometimes. Well, like I used to just, I don't know.
Can I
out of practice?
I gotta be completely honest. It was only like in recent years when I was like, oh, baking and cooking are considered two different things.
They are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely. I feel like baking. If you miss an ingredient, because I like to bake bread, and I feel like if you miss an ingredient, you are.
Is baking just anything to do with bread? Is that what clarifies as bake? What is the category
Isn't
of baking?
Baking like pies, it's not a hard, cookies and tarts and all that?
It's not like a hard line per se of what is cooking, what is baking, etc. But I don't know, how would you describe it? Because like, there's like baking and then there's like pastry. The French have different words for all of it, right?
Pastry,
like,
pastry
boulangerie, pâtissière.
Yeah, I think that like bread things specifically, anything that's having to do with like anything yeasted or risen, like that's gonna be where like the science and the precision really matters.
Cultures and all that.
Yeah. And then things like there are some things like, I don't know, making like a really nice smooth custard. Like that's like just a lot of like technical like timing stuff.
But so, like to me that's cooking. Like the custard is cooking. I can make a custard.
Right.
Yeah, custard.
You know, once
custard's
I start working
cooking.
With to me a lot of it's like architecture in a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with actual pastry.
That's so true.
No, yeah. I made a creme brulee a couple weeks ago.
That's my favorite dessert.
Oh, that's so cool.
Good. I love custard.
I bought a torch just for it.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
At the top.
I went to a little Sur La Table, got myself a torch.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and some nice little creme brulee dishes.
I went a little crazy. It was Valentine's Day. I wanted to make something special.
Want that. That's amazing.
That's my, like, cheater, like, chef-ass dessert, is making, like, some sort of, like, a creme brulee or, like, a panna cotta.
Yeah.
Will be my thing. But I'll, like, grapefruit zest panna cotta, you know?
Because it's so good.
Bergamot like whipped cream, candied kumquat.
What?
You know? Come on now.
Like a creamy, like custard dessert is just so good. It's just pudding.
Has to be done right, though. I feel like I love custard, but I don't really like super sweet desserts.
Mm.
I'm weird. I kind of like lavender and Earl Grey and ube, like all these different flavors.
Yeah, same.
And so sometimes I'll get custard, like a banana custard, and I'm like, this is so sweet.
Let me sell you on grapefruit zest panna cotta.
No, you said that, and the kumquat, I was like, that is my shit.
A lot of bitter, a lot of acid, a lot of freshness cutting through it. You should have come over for Valentine's Day. It would have been great.
Oh, my God. It was my birthday. I should have been like, bye, husband. I'm going over to Chef Josh's house with his wife.
When you were in college for baking, was it like you had to bring in your sourdough loaves to the study hall and show them to everyone?
It actually, like,
here's my sourdough loaf.
Culinary school does just basically seem like a bit. Like, they had me writing, like, I wrote an essay on, like, the origin and history of, like laminated doughs and croissants.
Oh,
and then, like, I had my final, and I had to make a souffle for a final. I actually burnt the shit out of my thumb and finger because it was, like, a final, and it was timed. And, like, souffles, like, you got to get them right out of the oven. You don't want them to deflate. So I had my souffles coming out of the oven, but I'd already plated, and I had to get the souffle onto the plate. And I was, like, I won't be able to grab this with enough precision with, like, a towel and get it on the plate without screwing up the plating. So I was like, if I do it fast enough, it can't hurt that bad. And so, like, straight out of the oven, I'm just like looking at this, and I just picked it up and put it on the plate really
brutal.
Fast. It hurt.
What was
so
the material like?
Terrible.
What was it like?
It's like a ceramic, like,
okay,
yeah. And
I don't know if it was like cast iron or something.
Oh, yeah. that would suck.
You know,
die.
And they're like.
No, it was so bad.
Should have spit on your hands. That would have helped you.
Yeah, and so and my fingers, like,
it has to heat the spit first.
Just like instantly blistered. But I had to like take it up and like get graded. So I just go up and I like have my hand behind my back and I'm just like trying so hard to keep it together because my hand hurt so bad. But yeah, I don't know. It's just silly. I just like come in and be like, it's pizza day. We're making pizza.
Normal
Welcome
college
to pizza class.
Also,
I mean, that's like improv school. It's like, all right, which character are you coming up with? And they're going to be in CVS and you got to talk to this random guy and let's get out the who, the what, the where. And you're like, here I go. Or you'll do like a whole space work challenge where it's like 3 minutes of you making coffee, but there's nothing there. It's all space work.
Is there a school?
So
like,
there's school.
Because there's no college where you can major in improv, though. That'd be hilarious.
No, this is later when you're an adult and you've made the decision
what'd you
to
major
spend
in,
money
you
on
know,
it.
Just figuring it out.
The gray area.
I mean, I was a political science major and I wrote a 10-page paper on the Iggy Azalea music video for spelled $$y. I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's weird.
I wrote a very serious 10-page paper on that and like subverting the male gaze. I don't know, but
how does that
normal
relate
college.
To poli-sci?
Who's to say?
Who's
but
to say?
So normal college is also a little bit of a
so
bit depending on what you study.
You didn't go to culinary school.
None, not at
you
all.
You just learned it on the streets.
Culinary school of hard knocks.
I love that, though.
Yeah. Cool. And I have a lot of shortcomings in the kitchen because of it. Tons.
Really?
Tons. Yeah, don't know how to do a lot. Oh, ask me to fillet a fish. I can barely do it. I watch the YouTube videos.
I feel like that's filleting a fish is hard, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So,
I mean, do you think
bake.
In school you would learn all of those things? Oh, you can't bake.
Can't bake. No, did you ever see me try stuff?
Doesn't
baking
know what bread
baking
is.
Baking is a totally separate thing.
It's a separate thing.
It's so hard. When I had to learn how to bake, it was so many failed attempts.
Mm.
Making my own culture was so many failed attempts. It's like there's so many things you can't control. It's like heat, temperature, timing.
No, you can let a dough sit out on the counter for like 15 minutes too long proofing, and then the whole bread
is just
like torn and overproofed and crazy. Like it really is super precise. I don't know, culinary school every single day we did something different. Every single day we baked or made a different dish or dessert or something. And so it was like really like I learned so many techniques and about so many different kinds of foods, which was really helpful. Like it was so much knowledge. And it also helped me realize the things that I hate because I love baking. But my like final for my entire like culinary school, like time was a wedding cake. And it was the worst thing ever.
Really?
I had to decorate like a wedding cake and it was awful and I hated it. And that was the moment I was like, I'm never making
a
wedding cake.
Precise little.
Oh yeah. I was doing like gum paste flowers. Like I had to make like these hyper realistic like orchids like to go on the cake. And it was so
And now you're going to have to do that again.
Yeah. You're making your own wedding cake.
People ask me that. They're like, are you going to make your own wedding cake? And I'm like, hell no.
No, I don't.
Why would I want to work?
Hey, you don't want to did you want to cook on your wedding? I know you didn't, but like, was that like ever a thought?
I would have wanted to if it was just me. I catered a buddy's like 80-person wedding once just by myself, like
Stop.
No help whatsoever.
That's crazy.
That's
and
really hard.
I had the best time. I loved it. It's the sicko mindset, you know? It's I stayed up for like 2 straight days doing it. It was awesome. So for my own, I would have like wanted to do that. And I even had talked to Julia about doing that for a little like engagement party because we were going to hire like a taquero for it. And I was like, I can just do this all myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so much of it and so much of relationships, I stare directly at you, is about finding that compromise where you realize that it's actually been the coolest thing about marriage is like, oh, this is no longer about me.
Yeah.
Like I've been indulging in my own kind of, you know, selfish bullshit for like my entire life of like, well, I want to do this thing and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, well, no, this is for the unit and for the greater good of what we're like, you know, going to achieve in our life. And so... Yeah, I was happy to just go along with the ride. And
yeah, because at the end of the day, she wants you. I feel the same way. I mean, my husband also, and it did happen the night before my wedding, he wanted to barbecue, like literally like meats and vegetables on this huge grill in Santa Barbara for everyone the night before. Yeah. And it was a big struggle of mine, but it was like something that was so important to him. And I was like, you know what? It's the night before. It's not our actual wedding. You can do it. Did I see him that whole night? No. But was he so fucking happy?
Every
picture of him is like... and he has like just so much meat and like vegetables. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't take that away from him. Like, but on our actual day, I could see because she wouldn't ever see you.
Exactly, yeah.
She wouldn't see you. And you'd be up all night thinking about it.
And I was like really shocked on my wedding day of like how present I was able to be. In that moment, because I don't know, I kind of struggle with that, especially the very kind of sentimental stuff, especially when it's something that's like very rote and de rigueur in life. I kind of just like scoff at it a little bit. But the actual like wedding ceremony, I was so incredibly emotional during it. And it felt like
so hyper real in a way that I really didn't expect, and it was like really meaningful.
Yeah, I cried.
Oh, yeah, Trevor, you actually cry?
I cried at your
at my vows.
Yeah,
wow.
I cried. We each had like 5 minute vows.
I think it was when Jules was walking down the aisle, and then a bride walking down the aisle. I don't know. I always cry at weddings. And then during the vows, it was shed some tears.
Special, yeah. It's like a really intimate setting too, and knowing that like Julia built the chuppah, and we had her grandfather's talis, on it, and her brother did the actual ceremony, and he'd said some like really sweet things, and
so
sweet. Really, yeah. That is so funny.
And I'm glad I wasn't worrying about like, are the flautas still crispy?
Yeah, exactly.
I also had a cocktail. Cocktails during the ceremony.
Whoa!
That was something we made sure.
Really?
You have a penicillin?
Yeah, I had a penicillin.
Favorite cocktail of all time.
So good.
Favorite cocktail
of all time. Cocktails during the ceremony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Sure. Well, we got married at the same place, different times.
Did
completely.
You really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We got married at the courthouse. I got Santa Barbara courthouse.
But beautiful. I just mean, I haven't been to many weddings.
They didn't have cocktails.
Well,
they weren't allowed.
I haven't been to many weddings where there's any drinks during the ceremony.
I think it should be a must. Now that I'm like,
it was awesome.
That was like on our list. We're like, we don't want anyone to ever feel like they wish they had a drink in their hand and they don't.
Yeah. It's so much better because it really is like, the ceremony part, and I love the ceremony when you read your own vows and all that, but it's like, with a little cocktail would be just so nice. It's awesome.
In every wedding we'd been to, we're just like, we're sitting there during the ceremony, and we're like, God, I wish I had a drink, you know?
Damn. Well, we weren't allowed them. That was like the biggest thing. They were like, no champagne.
Do not fucking drink.
It's like a park.
Then they punch you in the face.
We did
have an open bottle of Malort floating around, but we got married in a restaurant. Malort is the worst tasting alcohol. Have you had Malort?
So
have you heard of it?
No.
Jepsen's Malort? Does anybody in the room know Malort?
That's what peasants call their king.
Did you drink it?
What?
No, I didn't drink it because I've already drank it. And I had multiple people at different points come up and be like, you want some Malort? I'm like, no, go away.
What is this?
It's from Chicago. It's one of those liquors that I believe the two main flavoring agents are mugwort and wormwood, which just sound like Harry Potter characters.
It sounds like Jägermeister.
But imagine that mixed with just like pure ether and like gasoline.
Yeah. Why is it a thing?
A friend brought it to the wedding and we just started like taking handfuls of Malort. It was on New Year's Eve. And I think a lot of people, did you stay through midnight?
No.
A lot of people got too drunk and had to leave before midnight.
Yeah. No, we bounced early. I felt bad. Well, you came by and we were, because it was like indoors, but then there was like this little outdoor kind of patio area. And so Raven and I, we took a break, went to sit outside, and you came by and like handed me a warm bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
And then you got up and walked away, and then I was like, I just have this warm bottle of champagne. And drinking champagne out of a bottle is just the worst thing.
It's out of your mouth.
It's too much.
It's so awful. All it does is fizz. And then your brother came over, and I was talking to him for a while, and I was like, do you want the champagne? He's like, no. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. So I just set it on the ground, and then I think...
You still think about that bottle of champagne?
Yeah, no. I felt bad, but I don't know.
I probably didn't want it. I don't think it was
I don't think you thought about it.
No.
I didn't remember.
I was really stressed about it, so
I get that. Holy shit.
I realized something I meant to bring up at the start of this episode is Amanda and I are doing something very fun now from here on out on the podcast. We have bingo cards.
Yep.
So this has started at the beginning of this, right? Of just there are things that Amanda and I tend to say in every episode. So Selena now has bingo cards for each of us.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That have a bunch of traits. And I think things have already been X'd off. We're not allowed to know what's on the cards.
We're not allowed to know. But
not specifically.
No, we did like a whole
until
community
one of us
post
wins.
About it, too.
So we're now just playing bingo. So, like, for instance, I think you mentioned the East Coast at some point. That's definitely something.
My hometown.
Just like little things that we do and say. So that's going to be going on in the background now from here on out on this show.
That's excellent.
That's
starting
awesome.
With this episode.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't know what things we marked off.
Well, the stripper definitely wasn't on there because nobody knew about that.
Not mentioning barbecue sauce being spilled.
Thank you for opening
someone.
Up to me.
You're so welcome. I still watch the videos and cry. And I showed Gardner, he was like, I don't need to see those. And I was like, but it's so funny. He's like,
Then he goes back to playing Civ.
Exactly.
Did he graduate from Civ?
So I fucked up.
What do you mean? A couple episodes back, she was talking about how
my husband plays Civ, but I was like, he told me that he's retiring. Civilization.
The game Civilization? You've never heard of it?
You never need to worry about it because you'll get addicted. Don't do it.
I don't love Civ. Yeah.
So he was like, I'm going to retire once I become immortal. And I was like, awesome, cool. So I fucked up. I was like, hey, I went on the pod and said that you're going to retire from Civ. He's like, it's Dota. I'm going to retire from Dota. Babe. He wasn't even that mad at all.
No way.
So he's still playing Civ.
Yeah, he's still playing Civ. And he hasn't retired.
But he retired from Dota.
No, he hasn't become immortal.
He's playing Dota in the year of our Lord 2025.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
He's sick.
He's a gamer.
He's Eastern European and he's a sick
man. It's my favorite visual that you say sometimes you crack the door open and he's in there quietly speaking in Russian.
Well, he has like five friends from that he met online from Ukraine and Russia and Belarus that he's speaking Russian to them all night on his thing. So sometimes he'll be in the kitchen and be like, I'm like,
I like how after being you're married to him and that's your impression. Have you not learned any?
No, I'm a horrible bitch.
Even though speaking Russian.
No, listen,
I was like, I love you down. Like, do you know? No, she should have been able to say it.
I have Solnishka, what he calls me, which is the sun, and that works. Like, I told his mom, I was like, I gotta learn Russian. She's like, do you have to? And I was like, why? She's like, it's so hard. It's so, don't.
You can't.
Don't.
You can't do that.
But he'll try to teach me. Here's the thing. Don't try to learn another language from your husband.
What?
It's so, you get so frustrated with them. Because he's like, no. Спасибо. And it's like, my mouth doesn't work like that. I will do this. Trust me, I wake up in a panic being like, I gotta learn Russian. I really have to learn Russian.
And then you look in the mirror and start going, da 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 da.
He would kill me if he heard me say that.
Does he listen to the podcast ever?
No.
Okay, good.
No,
that's good.
We love each other. We support each other. He doesn't have to listen to everything.
Okay, solid.
No, I'm bad.
Honey,
wow,
horrible wife.
Before we sign off, Selena wrote down a bunch of would you rathers. Let's quickly go through them.
Oh,
for both of us?
Yeah, for you too.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather have your secret recipe leaked or never make your signature dish ever again?
Oh, leak all my secret recipes, man. There's no secrets online anymore. We've created our own police state in the name of content.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. Cook based on vibes or cook based off of a recipe?
Oh, surely. I always, there will be times when I choose to follow a recipe if it's something that I haven't cooked a lot, but I have so much more fun if I'm going on vibes. Okay. So definitely on vibes.
Yeah. I'm 100% a vibes-based cook. I haven't cooked from an actual recipe.
Reading from a recipe. Like, it's only something if I'm like, I really don't know how to make this thing. But yeah, cooking on vibes.
Well, you read a recipe through, and then you're like, oh, I understand like the technique, and I understand the why, and then now you can start like tinkering with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like this one. Would you rather be vegan or gluten-free?
Oh. Oh.
Ooh, you're a baker. That's tough.
Neither of you guys are vegan or gluten-free.
No.
No. Wouldn't say so. I think I might rather be vegan.
I knew you were going to say that.
I think I love sweets and desserts and bready things like too much. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are like really, we've made so many advancements in the world of like gluten-free technology, but it's still just like, I think I would really miss it.
We have a couple gluten intolerant people in our office. And so we always have gluten-free options. And I'm amazed how many gluten-free options there are out there.
Yeah.
They've really cracked the code.
They've cracked the code.
I think I would do. I mean, right now I do try and eat a lot of protein, but like my actual doctor is like, stop doing that. And so eventually I do have plans to probably be something close to vegan. I think they're kind of correct about most things.
Yeah.
And I actually like cooked like this crazy 8-course dinner feast for a vegan friend the other day. It was some of the most fun I've had. I think I would do really well at both.
Yeah.
The entire civilizations have thrived without gluten. You know what I mean? The Mesoamericans, wheat didn't exist. You look at a lot of East Asian cultures, just eat rice. And so I think I could do both really well. But for right now, with protein goals, I'd rather be gluten-free.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy because I feel like I actually really, I don't drink milk. Like, I don't really have milk. And I don't love cheese that much. The only thing that would be, like, probably a change for me is, to, like, not eat chicken. But even that, like, I don't eat a ton of meat, I feel like. So, and I love, like, a black bean burger. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love a black bean. Yeah.
I love eating meat, but, like, I don't know. It's just the world of food is just such an infinite opportunity to eat delicious things. And we're talking about other cultures earlier, like gluten-free. Me and Julia were talking about this, and she was like, you eat flour tortillas all the time. I was like, I would merely switch to corn.
Right.
You know? Right. I get the flour tortillas for you because you make quesadillas.
Right.
Like, I would just do that, and I'd be perfectly fine. Yeah. And, like, you've had that Brazilian cheesy bread, pão de queijo?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Little popovers, Brazilian cheesy popover breads?
I don't know if I have. Yeah,
I know that. Good.
You guys never been to Fogo de Chão?
No.
Oh,
I've been once a really long time ago.
Oh, wait,
ago,
I haven't
and I
once
need to go.
You give you a little roll. Anyways, okay. The only ingredient is just, it's cassava flour, you know?
Yeah.
It's barely gluten-free. I just make cassava flour everything.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing.
But I understand that's, like, very specific to me.
Yeah.
Because I love cooking and
that. Last one I can think of is, what carb would you have to eat for the rest of your life if you had to pick one? See, it's like potatoes, pasta.
Oh, that's a good one.
What? Rice?
Rice?
Yeah.
Millet, sorghum?
And or bread.
Like amaranth?
Bread. And bread, so you have to pick one. It's like, for me, I'm like, man, to go without potatoes, every form of them are so good.
Mine's
chips,
bread.
Bread.
I love bread so much.
Yeah, it'd have to be bread. Potatoes would be really, that would be a really hard thing to give up, but I still think I'd pick bread.
It's my New Year's resolution to eat more potatoes this year. Because I don't like cook with them that much. I've never been, I love fries, obviously, but to me, like, almost, there's so many potato dishes that I think would be, like, better with other vegetables.
Okay.
But I'm trying, that's my own bias, and I'm trying to get over that. But, like, flatbread specifically, the best genre of food, it exists in almost every culture, some sort of flatbread that you swipe through a spicy stew.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's tortillas, that's naan, that's lavash, you know, that's even looking like Nigeria, like you have like the swallows and the stews. It's just some sort of tacky bread thing. Yeah.
Wow.
So hungry.
I know.
Well, put down below which carb you're aligned with.
Put down below.
Keep an eye out for Survive the Mythical Kitchen Live.
Yeah, we'll link it. We'll link it below.
April 3rd, 7 p.m.
Absolutely.
You can get live. Nailed it. When are the tickets on sale?
That's so
now.
Close.
The tickets are on sale now. You can go to mythicalkitchenlive.com
and get your tickets. We have a really cool t-shirt if you want to buy that too. It's going to be a really fun time.
Hell yeah.
That's so close. I can't believe it's already March. I'm freaking out, man.
He's like,
man.
Ow.
I'm freaking out.
Ow, that's so close.
He's going to break his nose twice before that.
And I'm wearing like a white tuxedo, and I've already got it stained during the promo shoots.
Nice.
It's like, we got to figure out that. You know?
Hell yeah.
That's great.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
Well, thanks for both being here.
Thanks for being here.
Hey, Amanda, nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you.
No, this was fun.
This was so, so fun.
You and your two other sisters.
Three.
Shit.
You and your older brother moved all over but went
this
to Kansas City.
I had the number three, but I couldn't remember if it was three total or
okay.
three.
I forgive you.
That's so awkward.
So embarrassing.
God.
Thank you for watching. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.